Share with you today from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning with the beginning of that chapter, reading 1 through 12. Matthew 5, you will recognize this as you come to it as part of the Sermon on the Mount, what we call the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. As you're turning to it, it's called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and in Luke, the words are different. There are positive and negative words in Luke's version, and that one's called the Sermon on the Plain. They are kind of believed to be from the same source in the tradition, but Matthew's version is the one that gives us the blessed are those who lines. And the translation I will read this morning, which is Common English Bible, CEB, it's happy are those, happy. And as I read this, I want to just say, we look for happiness in lots of ways. We don't always look for blessedness. We look for happiness. We want to be happy, right? If we're sad, we want somebody to cheer us up. We want to be happy. We want things to turn out well. We want to be happy. So here's what Jesus says about being happy. And if you hear it in that context, maybe these words will come alive for you in a way that they haven't before. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountain and he sat down and his disciples came to him and he taught them, saying, happy are the people who are hopeless because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are those who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are the people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are those who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are the people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are the people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are those people whose lives are harassed because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak bad or false things about you because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God is in control. But in the here and now, God gives us human beings a fair amount of freedom, an adequate amount of rope to hang ourselves over and over again sometimes. The pendulum of how we do that, of how we live with an excess of freedom, swings back and forth. And so, we have personal opinions that differ, and we have politics that sway from side to side. And the news inflames those sides, and as we take them, we are drawn farther from each other. The truth is somewhere in the middle. It's not fair to believe that the extremes are the only options. But when we live with such differences and such extremes, we sometimes get things wrong. The sway of public opinion goes from one extreme to the other, when the best way is probably somewhere near the center. Christian people have diversely different opinions, and we are quick to sling mud balls at one another. And that does not help the kingdom of God. And it certainly does not help our main cause, which is to bring people to Christ and to bring Christ to people. So we are each created with some kind of moral compass, but they seem to point to different poles. You can take that word two different ways, like election poles or electrical poles, polarity, positive, negative. We have differences. You know, even that gets off center, because any Boy Scout with an orienteering merit badge, and I was hoping John would be here to hear that this morning, can tell you that magnetic north and true north don't necessarily agree with each other. It depends on the tilt of the earth, and that changes with the seasons. But we are created in God's image, which means that we are also creators. In that creation, God gives us humans plenty of room to love, to choose, to hurt, or to hope, to forgive, or to live in grace. When we go off on our own, we can turn things upside down. Sometimes that means that things aren't going like you had planned or hoped. Sometimes it means you've gone completely off the track in whatever usual ways you are prone to do that. This could be the best context for hearing Jesus' teaching in today's lesson. Matthew frames the main elements of Jesus' teaching in what we have come to call Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. As you know, it begins with these Beatitudes, we call them. That word, Beatitude, has to do with blessing. Beatitude means blessing or grace or benediction, which means not in the sense of ending a service, but of speaking a blessing. Bene is good, and diction is to speak. So a benediction is to speak good things, graceful things. Linguistically, the word beatitude is connected with the word beauty. You'll notice it carries the first three letters, the B-E-A. You might remember a movie where Jim Carrey said something was B-E-A-utiful. Do you remember that? He makes that a great line. I mean, if you're really a movie buff, you might know that he said that in two different movies. Anybody with me? And you'll have to go look that up, won't you? Some of you may be looking it up right now. The one that I remembered was from Bruce Almighty. But in both cases, his character uses the word cynically for something that is anything but beautiful. Well, that is just B-E-A-utiful. Cynically. But the word is beautiful itself, and it has a deep meaning. The word beautiful means lovely or blessed. And it's why we call Jesus' sayings here in Matthew the Beatitudes. Now, Robert Schuller, if you're a fan of him from years ago, used to have a talk that he gave called the Beatitudes, like the attitudes for being, the attitudes for living well. And that's something entirely different. That's something that we do. But this is something beautiful that God gives us and that God plants within us. It's different here. And yet these are behaviors, these beatitudes. They are instructions, kind of, and keys to understanding and keys to finding blessing in your life. Jesus often said, "Blessed are they." But here in the Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are you when you do these things." Blessed are you. Or happy are you, content are you, is a better way maybe to say it. I hope that you share such a blessing as a family. Even, I dare say, on a daily basis. When you sit down together for a meal, we should give thanks, yes. And we should never eat so heartily without reaching out in our prayers, at least, to others who have little or nothing to eat. But there's even more to it than that. When we sit down to have a blessing at our meal, our whole mealtime should be considered a blessing. Our mealtime prayer should be a blessing for our family and for others and for everyone that we touch throughout the week. A blessing of each other in our work, in our play, and in our choices. If we don't ask God to help us be better parents and ask God to help our kids make good decisions, then we just buy into the hopelessness that has become so obvious in our world, that hopelessness that shows itself in the choices that we humans make, like young Devin dying this week, this Wednesday. Such things shatter our world view of people, especially our young ones, our teenagers, our kids. Our kids. He wasn't one of the youth from our church, but I wish he had been. He might have found something here to hold on to. But see, Devin's death does not bring hopelessness. It was caused by hopelessness. The world is not hopeless, you say, and you're right. But it can seem hopeless, and finding that hope that we believe is there is an individual thing. We have to help each other find it. We must. We have to lift each other, pray with each other, and pray for each other in our families and in our schools. Not that it changes things instantly. Not that it makes things perfect. But that it helps us grow and grow toward perfection. It gives us a common place and a common direction. Praying together as a family gives a family a unified moment, an expectation, a sense of community, and a sense of hope and of hope together. And it's not too late to start that. My faith is an individual thing, some of you might say. It's personal. Yeah. I say, yeah, but I also say no. Because none of us is an island. None of us can find our faith by ourselves. We need each other. We need each other to pray. And when we pray in community together, I think our prayers are stronger. For even Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there I am with them. The best illustration of prayer is praying in community around your table. It's a moment of alignment that we are not alone and that God is with us. If we don't believe that, then we should feel hopeless about the future. Mealtime is not just about getting food. It is about our common need for the things that sustain us. I say turn off everything and sit at the table facing each other at least once a day. And whatever you are eating, eat together and stay there for a while. It's about more than just eating. It's about talking and listening to each other. It's about being family. And the busier your family is, the more you need this. It gives our young ones a base, a launching pad, a place to land, It gives them a confidence and a hope. And when we turn life upside down, and we will, God's grace can fix us. Not that everything will be perfect, but that it will be fixed in God's time. God's wisdom is way above ours. And when we spend time with God, we learn how to grow toward God in our thinking. When we fall away from God's path, when you fall away from God's path for you, well, upside down is a pretty good term. It usually means that things are not going like you had planned or hoped. And those Beatitudes that we read a moment ago may be the remedy for that, or the preventative medicine for that. In what we have come to call the Beatitudes, Jesus speaks of pathways that are discouraging or upside down and brings hope to them through the reign of God. Like, blessed are those who grieve, for they will be made glad. Or, happy are those who show mercy, for they shall receive mercy. When disappointments come, God turns them over and we see the brighter side, maybe not immediately, but in time. It means that we should stay together to keep our hope as a family, as a church family, and keep watching. So, when you are disappointed, know that God holds you close. I believe, especially when we hurt. When things are upside down for you, turn to hope, turn to family, turn to your pastor, turn to faith. Our trust in God is safely placed, for we trust in a God who, in the most unexpected of times and ways, turns upside down things, downside up.